Prayer is a fundamental Christian practice. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find too many things that are more fundamental to having a relationship with the Lord than the idea of prayer. In fact, even as Jesus is talking about here, if you were paying attention to the words he was choosing to use, he says in verse 5, 6, and 7, when you pray, when thou prayest. He's assuming that you're praying. He's not saying you ought. I mean, yes, there is an assumption you ought to pray, but he's not just saying you ought to pray. He's saying, I'm assuming you're doing it. This is how you need to do it. It's assumed that you're going to pray. And the basics of what prayer is are mostly understood by most people, but I like the way that David in the Psalm, in Psalm 142, in that Psalm, he talks about how prayer is crying out to the Lord, just lifting up your voice. Hey, God, I've got something on my mind. How it's pouring out your complaints before the Lord and showing him what's on your mind, what your troubles are. That's the way David talks about it in Psalm 142. I think it's the first couple of verses there. At its base, what prayer is connecting to God. That's really what it is. Yes, we usually do it by talking. I speak to God. That's what prayer is often talked about. But it's done for the purpose of getting his help, to get his support. The writer of Hebrews says it this way in Hebrews 4:16. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. In other words, if you need something this morning, you know how you're going to get it. Why don't you go talk to the Lord for just a minute? That's what the scripture is telling us. If we need something, if we need help, we're going to talk to him. And in fact, not only is that the way to do that, but the Bible makes it clear that when we go to the Lord in prayer, we get help that we need. Psalm 142 again, David says, God's going to help you even when nobody else can. I like the way he says it in Psalm 142. He says, I looked this way and that way, and there was nobody. Nobody cared for my soul, he says. But he knew that God would care for his soul. So I don't think I'm going too far out on a limb when I say this. I'd be surprised if there's anybody in this room that says, no, you got to convince me. I need to be praying. Help me understand why I need to pray. I think y'all are already there. You know that prayer is necessary. You know that prayer is important. You know that prayer is helpful. You know that that is the way. But the question I have, and maybe I'm frustrated with myself when I ask this, but so please don't take it too personal, but why don't we pray more? Why don't we go to the Lord more? Why are we missing out on this? And I think part of the answer comes to the fact that some of us don't really know how. And you may say, well, I know how to pray. Well, I can tell you the disciples who walked with the Lord, who spent time with the Lord, in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, they actually went to Jesus and said, would you teach us how to pray? Can I say it to you this way? I know you know what prayer is. I'd be surprised if you didn't. You probably could teach me. In fact, I remember sitting in Glenn's Sunday school class about a few months ago and him talking through how to pray, that Acts method that he teaches out of the discipleship book. And there's always, but the point is, you've heard this, but I just want you to know that we need to learn how to pray. Because Jesus' disciples said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. We need to be reminded how to pray. And so today what we're going to do is go back and listen to the Lord as he's talking to us about prayer in Matthew chapter 6. And he's going to, I think he'll help us identify some disciplines in our lives that we should consider implementing. I've got to say this caveat here because I know how some religious people are. I'm not telling you these things are going to get you saved. There's one way for salvation. That's his name is Jesus. He's the only way of salvation. But what these things do, that I'm going to, these disciplines that Jesus, I think, kind of refers to, and I'm going to try to put some definition around for you. What these things do is help us get a little closer to the one who saved us. He's already saved us. If you put your faith in him, he is your savior. He's the only way to heaven. But once you've already been saved, thank the Lord for it, then what we can now do is put some of these practices in place to help us just get a little closer, enjoy him a little bit more. That's what I want to help you see. If you look back in verses 5 and 6, he says there in verse 5, not to pray like these hypocrites who would go out in the public places and they would raise their voice so everybody could hear and see what they had to say. He says, don't do it that way. Instead, Verse 6, go into your closet. Go to a private place and pray to the Lord. And I believe that prayer requires us, if we're really going to connect with God, communicate with God, prayer requires us to have some still and some silence. So the first instruction I want to give you on prayer based on what Jesus is teaching here is first pray in solitude. Pray in solitude. Now, I want to be clear here that you can pray anywhere, anytime. Just understand that. If you want to be on the street corner somewhere and just start lifting your voice and praying, by all means, pray. But if that's the only way you're praying so everybody can see you, I just want to say you probably want to step back and reconsider how you pray. You can pray right down the road. Make sure you keep your eyes open when you pray. But you can pray right down the road. You can pray walking through the woods. You can pray any number of ways. But however you want to do this, but just know that prayer, the prayer that connects us with God is that kind of prayer that is still and it silences the world around us. Jesus models this for us. There's about three or four different passages I could point you to, but let me just read from Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. It says that in the morning, he rose up early, or rather, it was a great while before the day. He went out and he departed into a solitary place to pray. Here you have Jesus modeling him, and he said he did this multiple times where he would take away from what he's doing. He's going to steal away. He might get up a little early to do it. He'd have to go away from everything else, all the hustle and bustle, and he would make a point to be over at a time by himself in solitude and pray.
This is the discipline of, there's actually a title for this, is the discipline of solitude. This is the discipline of solitude. Withdrawing away from the day-to-day of life. And again, I want to make sure you understand, I'm not saying that this is the only way to pray. You can pray any which way, every which way. But let me tell you, it's something special when you can draw away from everything else and get away from everybody else that's in your ear. Put the phone down, turn the TV off, put the books down, put the television off, and maybe go outside if you have to. But wherever you got to get alone with God and have some solitude with Him. That this is it. This is one way. Now, it helps us to be, as the psalmist writes in Psalm 46, verse 10, to be still and know that He is God. That's what we're trying to go for here, is to try to be still and know that He's God. There's also, if you look back in verse 5, these hypocrites who are standing on the street corners, and he's saying that the reason that they're doing this is because they want to be seen of men. And I think the reason that this is important here is because sometimes when we're not alone, when we're in these other settings, whether it's because people see us or because we just haven't decided to turn things off and focus on the Lord for a minute, our motives and our heart can be a little bit impure. We could simply say, well, I'm going to check the box and get my prayer done today. I'm going to make sure people know I got my prayer. Whatever the reasons are, but that solitude, it purifies us. It focuses our heart on a heart of prayer. Let me put it to you, this is the best way I can illustrate this. This is not, you understand, Vanessa is close to the Lord, but she's not the Lord. You understand, she's not the same thing as the Lord. But sometimes I'm talking to Vanessa, and I'm real bad. This is just, y'all think worse of me when I tell you this. I will not, sometimes that phone will be in my hand. I'm looking at something, some email that came in or something that I'm looking at. And I'm paying attention to that, and we're talking. And she'll say to me, sometimes she'll say something, but I won't put that down. Sometimes she might not, she'll just stop talking, because she's like, you're not paying attention to me, you're looking at that phone. And I can tell you, when I put that phone down, I can put the TV away, and I can put all these things away, and I can have a conversation with her, whether it's in the living room, it's in the car, I can just connect with her better. I don't know about you, but it's hard for me to talk to my wife when I'm watching a television program. I just can't have a good conversation with her. Even if it's a boring program, I'm going to look at what's on the TV. Do you see the thing there? This is with a human being. She's looking me in the eyes. Could you imagine what it's like when you're talking to the Lord?
If we don't take a moment to take that moment of solitude and put away the things of this world and take a moment to focus on Him, how much we're going to be missing out. So it is important to do what he says in verse 6, to go into that closet, that place of solitude. Go into that place that's away from the things of this world. So not only do we need to pray in solitude, but the second instruction I want to offer to you is we need to pray in silence. Now that may sound a little bit counterintuitive because we're supposed to be praying, and you think about praying as talking to the Lord, right? And so how are you going to pray in silence when you're speaking to the Lord?
I want you to see, go back to what he says here in verse 7. He says in verse 7, not to use vain repetitions as the heathen do. I think that some of the best times of prayer in my experience, and I believe based on the scripture here, is when I'm quiet before the Lord. Sometimes, as these vain repetitions are suggestive of, I feel like I need to fill the time with the Lord by letting, just saying a bunch of words. I've done this before where I know, okay, I'm supposed to pray. I remember one time, this has happened multiple times. I'll sit there and I'll pray and say, Lord, I'm supposed to pray to you right now. I got to figure out what I need to talk to you about, but I got to pray. I mean, I'll literally echo out what's in my mind. But you know where the best times of prayer are? When I'll shut up and I will listen to him speak to me. Now, you may say, well, Matthew, you're crazy. The Lord doesn't speak with an audible voice. I know he's not out there booming through the clouds. But I have the Holy Spirit of God inside of me. And if you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. And I do believe that he will speak to us. And sometimes he won't speak to us because we're too loud. We won't hush. I believe that. I can say it to myself. I may not be able to say it to you, but I can say it to me. So we tend to want to fill that space, use those vain repetitions. This is the discipline of silence. Our God still speaks. I believe this. I absolutely believe this. We serve a God who speaks. And we as his people need to listen. I'm reminded of what happened in Job. You know, y'all know the book of Job. It's about 40-something chapters long. And for about 37 of those chapters, you've got Job and his friends. And bless Job. He really went through it. If y'all know the story, he went through the ringer. But for 30-something chapters, Job and his friends are yammering on about what's wrong with Job and why Job is in the situation he's in and all that. Then in chapter 38, and let me look here at verse 2, God comes along and he says, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? He's saying, who do you think you are coming up and trying to tell me what I'm supposed to do? You don't know what you're talking about. He says in the next chapter, chapter 40, verse 2, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? I'm simply trying to make a point to you that we're not as smart as we think we are. And it might be good for some of us, most of us, me for sure, to just be quiet in the face of the Lord and to say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. As he says, as Samuel says in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Second part of this idea of the silence, certainly silence, part of this is just to be quiet and let the Lord speak. Let the stillness of the, and by the way, it's not just be quiet, it's turn everything else off too. Remember, you got to put solitude and silence. Putting those two things together really makes a difference here so that you're able to communicate with the Lord. There's another part of this silence that I want to emphasize for you. It's the discipline of secrecy, which is one that may not be something you think of often, but I want to try to get this into your prayer life. And this is that the best prayers are often just between you and God. I'm not suggesting that you can't share your burdens with your brothers and sisters. In fact, that's one of the things we do on Wednesday nights around here is we share things we want to pray about. In fact, so often I'll ask, is there anybody that needs prayer? Somebody might say, hey, could you pray? It's a personal matter. I'm not going to share it, or I've got this specific thing, whatever it is, and we'll pray for them. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's sometimes, and there's occasion whenever you just need to not let everybody know what you're praying about, so that when the prayer comes about, you know that the reason it's answered is because God heard your prayer. Let me give you two examples of that from my own life. One that I think y'all appreciate personally because it affects y'all, and one that doesn't. In 2005, I was sensing a call to preach. I believe that the Lord wanted me to be a pastor, wanted me to preach. I actually thought of it as specifically wanting me to be a pastor. And I wanted to talk to everybody and his brother about it, but I thought, no, I'm not going to say anything about it. I'm just going to be quiet. And I said, Lord, I'm going to pray about this thing. If you want me to be a pastor, you want me to be a preacher, you're going to have to give me something more than just myself. I had someone to be me. I want somebody outside of me to say something about it. And I specifically said, if you can have Vanessa bring that up in some capacity, I'll know you're working through her and you'll give me something to know that's that you work in.
And wouldn't you believe one, I think it was a Wednesday night or Sunday night after church, we were riding home, we were talking, and she said something to the effect of, and you can imagine her saying this, "What's wrong with you? Are you being called to preach or something?" Something like that. And I thought, well, funny you should mention that. I've been praying about that exact thing, and you brought it up, and I believe that's an answer to prayer. This is what I'm talking about in terms of secrecy. Sometimes it's good to just simply come to the Lord and say, "Lord, I got this on my mind. Could you help me in some way?" And that way, when the Lord brings it about, you know it wasn't because you manipulated the situation. It's because God brought it about. The other example I'll give you actually applies to this church. I remember we moved here in this area in summer of 2022, and we'd ride up and down 163. We were looking for churches and all that sort of thing. We'd ride down 163, and I remember thinking to myself, that sure is a pretty church there, North Beaver Baptist Church. Maybe one of these days the Lord let me preach there. That's a real pretty church. And I started praying. I said, "Lord, I'd like to preach there one day. Maybe if you want me to, I might even be able to pastor that church." But I didn't tell anybody that specific prayer. I just asked him that. And of course, one thing led to another. I talked to David Blackburn, and of course, talked to y'all and all that. And of course, I'm now your pastor. But that's another example of that. How I prayed that prayer. I asked the Lord, "Hey, if you'd like it to work out, I'm going to try not to make a big thing about this and try to make it a thing. But when it comes together, I'm going to give you the praise for it." This is what I'm talking about when I say that this discipline of secrecy. Sometimes it's best just to keep those prayers between you and the Lord. But make sure I'm clear. I want to say one more thing about that. That's not every time. If you're hurting right now, you need some help, you might want a brother or sister to pray with you. Go ahead and share that with them. But there are certain times when that practice of secrecy may be helpful to you. The next instruction I want to give you is certainly we want to pray in solitude and pray in silence, but also pray as a Sabbath. Now, Sabbath, when you think about the Sabbath, you think about the Sabbath, the Saturday, the Jewish practice of taking sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday and not doing work and that sort of thing. And that is right. That's from the Bible. But the discipline of Sabbath ultimately is about resting in God's finished work. That's really what Sabbath is about. Now, does it show up as resting on a Saturday, or in our case, as Christians, we rest on the Sunday? Is that appropriate? Of course it's appropriate, but that's just simply one outcropping of it. Ultimately, what prayer is, I want you to think about this, prayer is Sabbath, because prayer is ultimately about resting in Christ, and that's first about aligning my goals with His goals. That's what I'm trying to do. When I pray, this is what you're trying to pray for. You're trying to align your goals with His goal. You're doing as He says there in verse 9, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." I want your glory above everything else. "Thy kingdom come." I want your rule above everything else. "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." I want your will to be accomplished. This is what we're trying to pray for. Now, does that mean we don't have problems and burdens and concerns? Of course we bring those things. But what we're asking when we pray is say, "Lord, I've got this on my mind, but I want it to be in line with who you are." This is what prayer is about. And that's why it is a Sabbath, because what we're saying is, I'm willing to forego my will, my power, my glory in favor of yours. That's what we're trying to do. But it's also not only aligning our goals with Him, but trusting in Him. Verse 11 says, "Give us this day our daily bread." We're trusting in His provision for our needs. We're not trusting. It's not to say we don't work. It's not to say we're not concerned about things, but instead of saying, "Let me work myself to get this, let me worry myself to get this," instead what I'm doing is saying, "Lord, I'm praying to you because I know that if I have a need, it's only going to be met because you meet it." That's where Sabbath comes in. We're really trusting in Him. We're resting in His work. We are, as Paul writes in Philippians 4, we're careful, or we're worried or concerned about nothing. We're not worried about things, but by everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, we let our requests be made known unto God. We rest in His work. But also in verse 12, he says, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." There's also something very eternal that we're doing. We're not just resting in His help in our physical life, in our emotional needs today, but we're trusting in His eternal provision.
We're saying, I've got a debt that I cannot pay. I've got sin. And we're going to him and saying, God, I only have this paid because you've done this. Ultimately, it's practicing a Sabbath when we pray. We are saying, listen, I know I can work. I know I can worry. I know I can try to fix this myself. But what I'm going to do when I pray is I'm taking my cares, and I am, as Peter says in 1 Peter 5:7, I am casting them on him, on his shoulders. And he's the one. I'm taking a break from it. I'm resting from it. Now, practicing a Sabbath can take a lot of different forms. Certainly, it can mean taking a nap. That's a Sabbath. It can mean going to bed at night. I mean, there's some practical things, but ultimately, it's about dedicating time on a periodic basis and saying, I'm going to make sure that I'm resting. I'm going to take whatever the things that are on my mind and on my heart, and I'm going to put them on the Lord. This is where prayer comes in, is to make sure that we have those times, to lean on his work for salvation, to rest and sleep and quit worrying about it. Now, I want to make sure I'm clear here. I know some of us are wired worriers. There's some of y'all in this room that you don't know what to do with yourself if you don't worry. It's just somehow some people are that way. And I'm not fussing at you. I'm just saying that's just how you are. But what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to pray just a little bit extra is what you're going to have to do, because that thing's going to bother you. And you're going to have to say, Lord, not only do I have this thing that's bothering me, but it's bothering me that it's bothering me. And you're going to have to talk to the Lord about that. You're going to have to cast those burdens on the Lord as well. Lastly, we'll wrap up with this in verses 12 through the end. We not only want to pray for pray in solitude and in silence. We want to pray as a Sabbath where we're resting in him. But we also want to pray see our prayer as self-examination. See what he says in verse 12. Verse 12. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then I'm going to skip over, he reiterates his ending there with the power and the glory, sort of saying this is all about God. But verse 14, he says, if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But vice versa, verse 15, if you don't forgive them, the Father's not going to forgive you. What should happen when we come to the Father, when we come into his presence in prayer? It ought to confront us with our own sinfulness. We're reminded, if we are really in the presence of God. Now, let me just be honest with you. Sometimes when I pray, I'm not in the presence of God. You know what I'm doing? I'm just sort of spouting off the mouth. I'm doing a religious practice. But if I will take a moment and I will be in solitude, I will sit in silence, I will consider that what I'm about to do is to share with him a burden that I have and say, I cannot handle this, Lord, and I'm going to Sabbath in him. When you get to that place and you're actually in the presence of the Lord, you're going to respond like Isaiah did in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 5 when he was in the presence of the Lord. And he says, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I will dare say, if you'll actually take a moment and get yourself in that presence of the Lord, which, by the way, as a Christian, you have every opportunity, every right, if I can use that word, to be in the presence of God. Jesus has made that possible. If you'll get yourself in the presence of the Lord, it will show you how much sin you've got. It'll show you how wrong you are. And this leads to the practice of confession, or the discipline of confession. We're going to have to start by saying, Lord, you're about to show me where I'm wrong. I actually don't like to ask that prayer because I get shown way too much. When I'm honest with the Lord, he's honest with me. And he says, Matthew, you need to stop that, start that, do more of this, do less of this. And it's a whole lot more than I bargained for, because I'm a sinner. Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips in the midst of a people of unclean lips. I am unclean. But if I'll ask God to reveal to me what's wrong, to say, as the psalmist said, search me and know me. Help me to see if there's any wicked way in me. Ask him for that. And then when he does, be prepared to say, Lord, you're right. This is what confession is. Acknowledging the way God sees it. You agree with him and say, Lord, you're right. That's sin, and I need you to clean it. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 comes to mind immediately. At least I hope it does for you. that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just. He is consistently right. He's going to do that. He's faithful. He will never fail to do it. And he's just. He is right to do it. Because of the blood of Jesus, I can go to the Father and say, show me my sin, God, and he'll show it to you. And it will embarrass you. It'll make you feel about that tall whenever it comes about. It'll make you feel absolutely awful. But what he's going to do is he's going to say, you can confess that sin, acknowledge that sin as wrong, and he will faithfully and in justice take that sin from you. He says, faithful and just to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So that lastly is that prayer is about self-examination. I'm done now. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you an invitation. I've got a general invitation I want to give you. And that is, some of y'all just need to commit to talking to the Lord a little bit more. I would like to invite you to do that. Be good if you would go ahead and make that commitment to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to do it. I'm going to try to do it this week. I'm going to try to set aside some time to talk to you. I'm going to do that this coming week. And I would like to encourage every person in this room. That's a general invitation. Anybody that's here, why don't you make that commitment to the Lord? I think everybody needs to pray a whole lot more than we do. But I also want to invite you to specifically, I want to give you some specific things to think about. There might be you need to introduce solitude into your prayer. Do you need to withdraw from the hustle and bustle of everything? Maybe you need to introduce silence into your prayer. You need to just be quiet before the Lord. Let him speak to you. Maybe you need to introduce secrecy into your prayers. There are certain things you need to pray about. I'm just going to keep them between you and the Lord. Let him answer them and then give him the credit when it happens. Maybe you need to bring about that idea of Sabbath. I'm going to rest in the Lord. I'm not going to rest in my abilities. I'm going to rest in him. And then some of you just need to be a little more open to confession. Lord, show me where I'm wrong. Make me right. I want to invite y'all to come and commit to, again, maybe it's just praying more or one of those specific disciplines. I want to introduce you to that. Or I want to invite you to that, to come and make that commitment this morning.